you had mentioned Mr. Whipple's equipment dealership in Brownsburg?
Yes, I'm not sure exactly where it located. It may have been where the antique shop is today. I remember Mr. Supinger having that first, and then later Carl Swope had it. My father bought a double row corn planter with fertilized boxes on it, which was a real step because most of the farmers were still furring out a row for the planter and had a one row horse planter that planted the corn and you covered it. So, in fact, he had had plenty of inquiries if people wanted to borrow it when he got through with it planting his corn each year.
And who did he buy it from?
From Mr. Whipple in Brownsburg.
And that was Fred's father who mm-hmm. had the equipment dealership?
Right, yeah. And I think he sold grain binders then, too, to cut your wheat and barley and rye and so forth, and oats, and which would cut it and kick out sheaves, and then you stacked them, shocked them together, and spread one out and put it on top, and that protected it from rain. The rain would shed off. of course, where John Layton Weitzel lives, Mr. Weitzel had an undertaking business there, which later was where the post office was. And of course they were related to the Mileys, which had a undertaking business over at Decatur. And to my knowledge would be that's when it moved from there to where John Layton and Virginia live now. But my aunt that I mentioned earlier, I remember they took care of the burial there, the funeral and so forth. Which reminds me of another story of not in Brownsburg, but in the community. A Mr. W.A. McCurdy lived at Rockbridge Baths, and he was the, I guess you'd say, unassigned funeral director. He would record in his diary, which we read, so-and-so passed away today, and I went up and helped lay him out. Then he would record, went to Lexington with a team of horses to get a casket, and the next day he'd say, buried Mr. and Ms. So-and-so, Mr. So-and-so or Ms. So-and-so, or a lot of children were died in infancy then, those two. And in 1928, he recorded, used automobile hearse today. And that was the first time that they'd used a motor vehicle for a burial. It had always been done by horse and wagon in those days. Of course, the Bosworth had the store. Dr. Bosworth's family had the store up there, which was the post office too, where the Gillum lives now. You know, the white building.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And later, that was the barbershop and pool hall. That was another place to talk about your neighbors and play tricks on them and so forth.
Did you ever shoot pool in the pool hall?
No, I never had time.
Well, two jobs, I guess you didn't have much time, did you?
No.
Not much loafing you were doing?
No, I pretty much stayed busy. Of course, the Huffman's store, film station, which is still there. That was great to be able to, on a rainy day, to pull up there and pump your gas with that stand out in the rain.
Oh, because they had a covered area.
It had a covered area. And, of course, those days when you said pump the gas, you stood there with a long handle and you pumped it until you got however many gallon up in the glass tank up above it. And you got, it would read 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I think it went up to 10 gallon. And so you pumped out whatever, how much gallon you want, and then you, it flowed into your car by gravity then. So,
do you remember what the price of gas was?
I can remember when it was 21 cents. That was in the mid-30s that I remember. That was the price of gas. So, of course, we, during the war, you had gas was rationed, and you get 3 gallon, I think it was 3 gallon a month for your car. You get a gallon if you had a washing machine that had a gas motor on it, because there wasn't any electricity in the area, in our area then. But, we'd just take a few old chickens to the store and buy a gallon of gas. And so that's the way you paid for your emergency. Either that or local stores would handle cured meat, particularly hams or side meat. Well, we call it bacon today, but it was side meat that was cured. And the stores would buy it, and then people would come in and buy it from them to pay for your sugar, your salt, and on a rare occasion, you get 10 cents worth of cheese, which was a slice of cheese cut off of a, what they call a Cracker Barrel cheese now, which was around and had a, was round with a hole in the center of it, and you put it down over the knife, which had a, was in the center with a handle on it, and you pull that knife down and slice off 10 cents or so forth. Or in those days, then either you'd use what you had made, so-called macaroni, or would buy some macaroni and have macaroni and cheese, but that was a rare occasion. That was luxury time. And of course, the farmer store was where Mr. Barnes' house is now, and there was a building back of it that you came out through a door into that, and that's where they stored a lot of feed, fertilizer, and so forth. Now the merchandise was in the, what was the basement there then. Of course, that later became the doctor's office. And of course, where Ag Patterson lives was built by the community for a doctor's office. That was a community project. And in those days, communities did their own thing. They didn't have to get permission from county commission or committees and so forth to do anything. If you could afford it, then everybody jumped in and did what was best for the community. Of course, Mr. Matheny's lived there, you know, kind of, I guess you'd say, looked like a old-timey prairie schooner, as they called it, except it was almost a little house, real small little house with wagon wheels underneath it, and that's where he lived, and he repaired shoes and so forth for people, children, and so forth. And of course, Buck Potter had his blacksmith shop up at the end. It was always fascinating to go up there and watch him, what he could do by heating iron, and the iron rim would get loose on a buggy or a wagon and so forth, and he would shrink it and then get it real hot and put it back on the wooden spokes and so forth, and because then when it cooled, it would draw in, shrink up enough, and that would be keep it tight on there. Now, John Runkle lives out here, has a local, well, he's kind of semi-retired now, automobile shop. When he was a teenager, he lived where the Reeds live now. And all day long, he would run between Carwell's garage up to Buck Potter's and stop and shoot the breeze a little bit with each one of them. And everybody would say, "Grasshopper's wore out three cars and he hadn't got out of sight of Brownsburg." But I guess that's how he learned to be a mechanic and to fix things.
I wonder how he got the name Grasshopper.
I don't know. How he got that name, I don't know, but he had it in school. And then when he opened up a garage up there, it may still be on a shield on the front of his pickup truck that had Grasshopper. It's sort of like Weasel Reese.
Right.
Has his name
right,
on it.
Right, yep. Mm-hmm.
You know what I say? We used to say during the war when you traveled by Greyhound bus and you'd go in a bus station and the restrooms were all these signs written on the walls, Kilroy was here and so forth. And that's when the slogan started. Fools' names are like their faces, always seen in public places. So we kidded Weasel about that when he put it on his.
Anything else we haven't covered yet that you have in your notes?
I think we've back covered it. I see it now being an older person, the lack of concern in helping one another in the community. You know, if someone got sick, the community would take care of them. If somebody's house burned down, the community took care of it. And now you really don't know half of your neighbors with the transit world that we live in. And this goes even beyond just a normal living. When I grew up, the families in the churches, which is just prominently at that time was Presbyterian. You look back in the history, and grandfather did this, and so forth and so on, and there were families generation after generation. Now you can go into any of these local churches, and probably 80% of them are originated as in a different denomination, and in a different community and so forth, in many cases a different state and so forth. And this has been some good advantages and disadvantages. Churches and the schools were the total center of the life. And like we used to have at the ballpark at Busselburg, in the summer you'd have softball leagues, and everybody, the bank would have a team, Ed Patterson machine place would have a team, everybody would have a team, and you'd have 8 or 10 teams. All the young people were playing, and it was a good community sport. And now that particular thing is dead, because you couldn't get a softball team. First of all, the young people don't have time for it, and secondly, they're not interested. So life has changed, and you've got to throw out the best you can on the bad parts, the weakness parts, and try to build on the other parts. And but we hear so much about, in Rockbridge County, our young people have to go elsewhere to get jobs. But if you look back at the history, and I've done a lot of historical research within our own church and so forth, like my dad, he had two brothers, so the three of them, he stayed on the farm. The other two brothers had to leave Rockbridge County to get work then, too. And that was back in the early 20s. So it's it really hasn't changed that much.
History does repeat itself.
Mm-hmm. I said I go around the community of young people my age and that were older and so forth, and very few of them stayed here in the community because there weren't that many farms, and the farms couldn't support but one family or two, so they went elsewhere. It's history really does repeat itself, and it's almost amusing when we get in these discussions in the county today, and they say we don't have industry to hold our young people here, which is true, but we never did. You're an example.
I'm an example, right?
Mm-hmm. If everybody stayed here, then it would be a commune instead of a rural community, because the houses would be on top of each other if everybody stayed here in the county that grew up here. So I guess that's enough of my sounding off for one day.
Well, Mr. Beckner Wallace.
Yeah, thank you.
I've appreciated your time so much. You had a lot of great memories and some good stories.
As time has gone on, this is probably typical as you get older. You start thinking, they say you can always remember what you did as a child, but you can't remember what you did 5 minutes ago. So we like to go back as we get older and reminisce in various ways, whether it be reading history or digging or telling stories and sharing stories. But you think of them as the good old days. At that time, you thought they weren't good days. And it's sort of like when you were 12 years old, you couldn't wait to be a teenager, which was 13. Or you got old enough to vote or to drive a car and so forth. So we go back to history now and we look at the enjoyable things and the fun things, and we forget about the unpleasant things. So that's what keeps life lively. And my philosophy, if you can't tease and laugh, then you can't live.
Well, that's good philosophy, I think. Good philosophy.
So.
Well, thank you so much.